Under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976, allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. The views and opinions expressed in this video and on UME Radio YouTube channel are those of the host and or the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of UME Radio YouTube channel.
Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
Across the country, international. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, another Monday night.
It sure is. Good evening. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
I saw a different face in here tonight. Did you see somebody else? But I don't see them anymore. But how have you been doing, Kate?
I have been doing pretty busy as a bee.
Okay, I think most of us are growing.
Well, I think it's a good busy though. And you, I know you've been, oh my goodness, really been going.
You should have seen me tonight.
Oh man, I'm like
trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
I just gotta say a little prayer and say, Lord, you know, work it out.
Have thy way.
Work it out.
Yes, but thanks for having me as a guest co-host tonight.
Yes.
It's a pleasure. I'm Coach Raquel, by the way, for those of you who don't know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to have you the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
We've had, you know, guests came in, guest host, and it was just always flow going on here, you know?
Yes.
It's good to have a network where you can actually do things. Just happen to different people, different gifts, and just have them shine. So we're here again tonight.
Yes.
Happy to have you, Coach.
Thank you. So, go ahead.
Looking forward to a great night.
Awesome. Me too. Thanks to everyone who's joining us on Let's Talk Relationships here on UME Radio. Here we explore the dynamics and evolution of relationships, identify challenges, and offer perspectives through transformative conversations to promote strong, healthy family life and community. It is important to us that you know that it is not our intention to offer opinions or advice on how you should live your personal life or how your personal relationships should be. Do your own research, be your own free thinker, make sure you are doing well in your own life before commenting on other people's lives.
Yes.
As well as know that we wish you only love and happiness. And so as we look forward to a great show, we want to say a huge thank you, gratitude to God himself who purposed us to be here, as well as to all our partners or supporters or listeners and viewers or crew and everyone from all over the world. We have some amazing news we're about to share with you. I think that's going to be the week of the 18th, right, Keith?
Uh-huh.
We're going to be...
Yes, it is.
We're expanding, and you'll hear all about
expansion.
It.
Yes.
So I just want to say that we know you could be so many other places and in so many different spaces. And by the way, hang on. Today, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, all... Yeah. Was off. reminding us of just the importance of understanding that all of these things are man-made and are vulnerable to breakdowns. Mm-hmm. And after the breakdowns come great breakthroughs.
Yes.
You know, so let's not take anything for granted. So we are so thankful to be here on this platform today. I am Coach Raquel again. Like I said before, I'm sitting in for Lady Misty. And of course, I'm here, Lady Misty, who is a wife, a singer, a sister, twin, and educator. She shares so many commonalities with Keith.
I'm a single person myself. Lady Misty. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'll tell you, we miss you, Lady Misty.
Yes. She's not well. Hi, Apostle Faith Walters. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. She says, I'm looking quite lovely tonight. Thank you.
She's on the money.
Thank you so much. Lady Misty's not well. And we just want to send her love and light. And we just wish her the best. And we just keep her in your prayers.
Yes.
You know, sometimes as women, we have all these things to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'm so happy to be here with you, Keith.
And listen, I'm looking at your headphones.
You are?
And I'm looking at my shirt with a pink line side of it. You know, the orange line, the orange headphone and the orange line of my shirt and the blue on top of your, close to your neck and top of the
thank you, Apostle.
And my blue right here. We're rocking tonight, man.
We're in lines together. How about that?
This is all right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. Awesome. So it's my pleasure to be here, and it's my job to introduce the topic, right?
Hey, why not?
Okay,
and again, before you introduce the topic, let me officially say this is DJ KTE.
That's correct.
I'm here with you, yes. And the time is now. The time is now
9:08.
Monday, October
4.
Oh my, 9:08. The time is really
almost Christmas.
I'm telling you. tell you. I mean, it's almost the song's Christmas already. Time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Jingle bells. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. But Christmas time is my favorite time.
Yeah,
it's my favorite time of year. Yeah. So just a reminder before we go into our discussion, you can listen to, just in case you miss it, or if you want to listen to this again, you can listen on all the major digital platforms. Everywhere there's a podcast, we're there. Everywhere music is played, we are there. And iTunes. Coming soon to television, we'll be there in the US, Canada, and the Caribbean. We'll be there.
Yes,
and you can access us globally, everywhere online. We'll be on television, radio, and connected TV. We're already on connected TV. If you watch YouTube, I watch this program on my television all the time. It's on right now.
Yeah,
and that's what connected TV is. So,
yeah.
The following apps you can get it on. You can get our app at app.umeradio.com or on in the Apple Play Store, Google Play Store. You can also listen to us on iTunes, iHeart. One of the things I love iHeart. Right, Google, Podbean, TuneU, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, and List Notes,
Pandora.
And just a few. Pandora, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're on all of them.
Yes.
and we hit over three. I think we're at 3.5 downloads so far. We just got our tag for 3,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And I mean, our programs have been doing so well. And we're just very thankful, you know, that God purposed it to be. So before we go into our topic tonight, we'd like to share some information on family counseling with you. And it will be by Dr. Wanda Thomas. And so here is tonight's spotlight. And since I'm also the engineer, let me find it for you.
Multitask, so, I tell you.
Yes, I am.
Helping to make dreams become a reality. That is her mission. Today, we are here to introduce you to a phenomenal woman of God, an ordained minister, counselor, speaker, licensed wedding officiant, a certified chaplain. She holds a doctorate in theology, master's in pastoral counseling and divinity, and a bachelor's in psychology, along with certifications in Christian counseling, mental health, adolescent behavior, and family counseling. So I'd like to speak to you a little about your work with families and couples. When I visited your website, greatwisdomunlimited.com, so that leads me to ask you, how important is family counseling and who should seek it?
The importance of family counseling is very important. That should be priority, and I'm going to speak from just being my being an Afro-American, Black African-American person, right? We out here, I'm going to speak only in my small circle, because I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, but I know in my circle, my immediate family, my immediate friends, and the friends I've known over the years, they don't do counseling. That's just a fact. I can only speak from my small circle. They don't do counseling. And because I practice counseling now, this is what I stress to them. You need counseling. You need to seek someone. Someone who can be objective. Someone you can vent, a speaking board, if you will. They will hear you with no bias, no prejudice behind it, because they don't know you. But when you go to your friends and your family, they know you. They're going to give you their opinion. They're going to give you their advice. And if they are doing this, who are these folks? What's your life doing so good that I even should listen to you? And a lot of times, their life is not even, you know, they're not even doing what they're advising.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful. Go to that stranger. Go to that stranger and sit, because that's what we are. We're mediators. We see what the other person don't. We are outside looking in.
Yeah, if someone is listening right now and they are thinking about getting premarital or family counseling, but they have doubts, what would you say to them?
Well, again, I am a woman of God, and the Spirit leads me in everything that I do. And the beautiful thing about what I do, my counseling is based around the Bible. I can't do it, and neither can I. I don't care what your skill sets and how awesome you may think you are. It is the Spirit of God that covers it all for us all. I'm here to listen, be that listening board, stink, mm-hmm. if you will, yell, scream. I may even give you a punching bag if we're in person. Punch the bag. Mm-hmm. Get it out. Now, once you get all of that out and clear the air and get all of that pollution out, now, how do you feel and where do we start?
Indeed. So my final question is, how does someone book your services?
Call me up. Go to my website. Send me an email. You can text me. You can call me. Wherever floats your boat, everybody is into the device.
You can contact Dr. Wanda Thomas at great, and that's GR8WisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. GreatWisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. On LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and at www.great, once again, GR8WisdomUnlimited.com. Or you can call at 1-732-900-7362. That's 1-732-900-7362. Or email us at info@umeradio.com. Until next time, I'm Trisha Gay Kelly.
Hey America, this is Chaplain Wanda Thomas. Listen to Wanda Road to Success with Great Wisdom Unlimited every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time during the Gospel Connection on WNJRRadio.com, America's hottest web radio experience. This web radio program offers you information and tools that will help you to become empowered with skills for successful life outcomes. With so many different ways you can listen, you're going to love the way you sound. And now we're on Alexa. Just say Alexa, play WNJR, be blessed, and get connected to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Family counseling is critical. I think my family needs family counseling.
But you know, one thing I heard she said in that mix that I like.
Yeah.
A soundboard.
Mm-hmm.
Just a place to get away from your normal, you know, circle and just let it out, you know?
Yes.
Not feeling judged or, you know, or whatever it is. And you can really
or without the familiarity, you know. Yeah. I think sometimes I think sometimes even though I'm grown, like sometimes person was like, oh my God, you're so grown up. Like I'm growing. So the reason I said that is that I feel that sometimes it's better to go to someone who doesn't know your
exactly nothing about
your immaturity or your failures, so they can be clear. So they can just listen, you know, without having
any bias,
any thoughts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, preconceived ideas and things like that. I think it's really, really important, especially for the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight. So I just want to say thanks to Dr. Wanda Thomas. She's a certified chaplain, counselor, and wedding officiate, empowering people in understanding self-mastery, which is so, so, so important. And we just want to say thanks to her tonight.
Yes, yes.
And tonight our topic is, let me get it. Okay, so the topic that we're exploring tonight is inspired by feedback we received from one of our fans living in the UK. He asked for confidentiality, and so we will call him Paul for the sake of the show. Mm-hmm. This is not his real name, people, so do not harass any Pauls. Also, please ignore typos. We did not want to tamper with the comment. We wanted to bring it to you in its authenticity. So I'm going to be sharing it with you so you can see it as well as we go through it. So he said, people were excited for the day. That's the wedding day he's referencing. Did I say what the topic was? The topic is post-wedding blues.
Post-wedding blues.
And last week we had part one where it was post-wedding blues, no support after the wedding. And this week we have part two. And I want to say thanks to Dr. Faith Walter. She was on last week, and she really, there were a lot of aha moments for me in the things that she said. It really helped me connect. And I think it underscored the issue that exists, you know, it kind of highlight that and that confirms some of what the message was saying. So yes, I'll continue. People were excited for the day. That's the wedding day. And no one cared about the after, how we're living. Are we happy? Are we coping in the marriage? And when I reached out to some, they are like, they don't know, they don't want to be involved. I reached out for help and I felt like I was weak, can't handle my own life. And plus kids came along, it gets harder. They make wedding the focal point and they do all their best to make that day special. But having had the experience of marriage, I think the life in the marriage should be more important. That is where we need support, not to get involved or interfere, but to support and just be there to support. To listen. Listening is very important. I'm not talking about counseling. I am talking about both parties' family members. Even just to sit and talk and reason about life, both party family side, sit with us, have casual conversations, moral support. Sometimes you just need relief, a place to unload. I never had that. It was difficult. And that is from a man from the UK that was talking and sharing it with us.
Yeah.
Wow. I also am going to share an article. Just give me a second to add the topic to the screen so we can reference it. But there's an article I'm also going to share from yumiradio.com/news. Yeah, there we go. That's the topic. I'm just going to share a bit of it in the beginning. And then at the end, we're going to share the tips that they spoke about. And we already mentioned last week, we had Apostle Dr. Faith Walters, as well as Lady Tricia, who joined the panel. Thanks to you both for the insights you brought to the topic. Mm-hmm. It was really well received.
Yes, it was insightful.
So the article reads that the title of the article is How to Build Your Family Support System. When you have a healthy family support system, you are surrounded with family members or friends that you have a positive relationship with, who encourage you in your choices and trials and are there through the good and bad experiences of life. They don't leave when it gets tough. It's one of the most valuable things your family can have. Building a healthy family support system can be a constant journey and a challenge, but it's worth the effort. The beautiful thing is that it looks different for everyone. For some, it may be made up of mostly extended family. For others, friends, co-workers, or just one or two trusted people may make up the family support system. Whatever the makeup, it's one of the most valuable treasures you can have to ensure your family thrives. And if you'd like to read that, the full article, you can go to umeradio.com/news and you can read that article. I think that article is very profound. I remember last week in the conversation, Keith, and we're talking, I think one of the things that for me, Dr. Faith spoke about that resonated for me is being proactive in being selective about who you bring into the decision, the into your network as a support system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, our topic tonight again is
wedding blues,
how to build a support system around your family. We have two special guests, and one of the guests, to me anyway, as a producer for the show, is even more special, and you'll hear why, because he was one of the first guests to come on the show when we just started the first official show.
Yes,
Mr.
I think it means something here because
yeah, that's what I'm. That's why it's so special. Yes. Mr. Richard Smith. He was here for the very first show that we had. He was here, and so we welcome him back. Yes. Hello, Mr. Smith. How are you?
Good night.
Welcome back. What are your thoughts? How have we done so far? We've lasted.
that in and of itself is to be complimented, and that we can only but expect many more things of greatness. God bless you, and also our brother Keith, and I know so well. All the best to both of you. It is a topic tonight that God bless you both, just in terms of just how dire it is. This is needed in our churches and in our relationships.
Awesome. We also have another amazing, she's just beautiful guest, very special to us. She's also returning, and her name is Andrea Hampton, and we just have her on now. Welcome back, Andrea.
Welcome, Ms. Hampton. How are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear loud and clear.
I'm getting some feedback right now. I heard that I was an attorney.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, thank you for that. Like, I'm not, let me clear that up. I'm not an attorney.
Right.
You said you were returning.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes. And I'm much very grateful to be invited once again. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Yes. Mr. Smith, because you don't have a headset, we'll mute you when you're not.
Okay. My apologies.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you.
If you can find one, that'll be good. If you can find one, it'll be good. If not, we'll work with it.
We'll return with one. Give me a few moments.
There you go. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Oh, wow. Ready to get into the topic, Keith?
Listen, I tell you, I'm waiting to hear what these folks are going to say because they have some experience too. They have some ideas. I want to hear their thoughts because, you know, after last week, I realized that that you know sometimes the audience more people listen opposed to respond.
A lot more
people listen and are hearing, mm-hmm. on taking notes, and we think.
So we may see a
few people here responding, but believe me, a lot of people hearing and just saying, uh-oh, yeah. So we get those feedbacks in the background, in the emails, like, uh-oh, you know. So it's so important when I heard the last show, how we are to sometimes pay real close attention to what we read and how we respond. Because folks are listening, and folks are broken. There are broken hearts, broken spirit, and folks looking for ways to find a space of
a safe space.
A safe space. Thank you. Yeah. That's the word. You know, and so we endeavor to be that space for many.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure this show will be an addition to what we had last week and even more insights and ideas.
Absolutely.
These crazy situations sometimes.
yes. Andrea, what are your thoughts? Did you hear the letter that we read?
I didn't hear the letter.
Okay, we'll just go back to it then.
Yes.
So it's on the screen, and I'm also going to share it, read it as well. So a man wrote into the show from the UK, and he had this to say. People were excited for the day, and no one cared about the after. And he's referring to the wedding day. How we're living, are we happy? Are we coping in the marriage? And when I reach out to some, they are like, they don't want to be involved. I reached out for help and I feel like I was weak, can't handle my own life. And plus kids come along, it gets harder. They make wedding the focal point and they do all the best to make the wedding that day special. But having had the experience of marriage, I think the life in the marriage should be more important. That is where we need support, not to get involved or interfere, but to support and just be there to support, to listen. Listening is very important. I'm not talking about counseling. I'm talking about both parties' family members, even just to sit and talk and reason about life. Both party family side, sit with us, have casual conversation, moral support. Sometimes you just need a relief, a place to unload. I never had that. It was difficult. That was the thoughts he shared. And last week we looked at post-wedding blues and no support after the wedding. This week we want to look at the challenge he faced and have a conversation around how to build a support system around the family, whether it's just a newlywed, because that's the beginning of a family. That's a family. Yeah. And as it grows. Yes. What are your thoughts?
Well, I that's very interesting that a man wrote in. kudos to him for having the strength and the nerve to bring forward, I need help. You know, so congratulations for stepping forward and asking and looking for advice. I think that's commendable because a lot of people keep that inside. Mm-hmm. So what I want to say about that, whenever you're wanting support from others, especially when you're in a marriage and you're looking for that family support, a lot of family, they forget that we all love the same person, right? Mm-hmm. We all are loving that same person. The mother-in-law is loving the son or daughter who married the son or who married the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the father-in-law loves that son or daughter who married the wife or son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we forget is that we are all on the same team. We're all on the same team, and we have to understand that, okay, someone has come in and married into the family. Mm-hmm. So we've got to look at, you know, the fact that maybe they're feeling some kind of hurt or pain from that wife or from that husband, and they're looking for that support. What we do as family, when we are asked to be supportive, we get a lot of defense and a lot of judgment when it comes to asking for support. That's why I congratulate that young man for even coming forward, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of judgment from outside, and you have to realize that we're all on the same team. We're all on the same team, and we should not allow judgment to enter into the realm of support, because judgment gives way to leading people down the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you know, and then we look back at it all and say, we messed up. We should have been there as a support system and not a judgment system. Is so I think we all need to realize that we're, you know, first of all, we're on the same team and we love the same person, and that we should look at it objectively. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I know that was a lot.
No, that's okay. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
That's why you're here. Richard, if we may ask you, is it okay, one of the things he spoke to me, the person, because I'm the producer, and he spoke with me, and you were so right, Andrea. When I was shocked, I had to ask, why are you telling me? mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and he said, because I just felt safe. You didn't judge me, you didn't have an opinion, you just listened. And I was like, okay, I had no idea I was doing the right thing, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
One of the things he mentioned was he had 150 people at the wedding. And then it's like they disappeared after the wedding itself. They were married for about 10 to 12 years. Richard, what are your thoughts? Is it important, first of all, to select your wedding party with intention?
Good evening, everyone. I'm not sure if that, for me, that's critical. I've been married, thank God, for 24 years in about another month.
Congratulations.
Thank God. Three wonderful sons. And we have definitely, my wife and I have absolutely been through the gamut of issues, and certainly the honeymoon blues, and going through the first year or two. Well, I'll speak for myself, saying, why did I get married? Lord God, why would you have sent me into this den of lions and wolves?
I saw it coming.
And what I mean by listen, if I say that in all sincerity, in terms of the mm-hmm. transition and how tough of a transition it was
real.
In terms of
understanding
what that is and the maturity level required to remain happily married. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the first things that dwindles away is sex. Mm-hmm. And what that means is not that you don't have physical urges, but the reality is that it takes such emotional maturity to remain happily married. I was maybe 30 years old in age, and probably 16 years old in terms
in
of where I was in my head and in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there.
Thank you for your honesty.
And it's amazing. It took. My wife had to deal with my immaturity for years. Mm. And granted, this is while I'm still earning, you know, doing everything on paper, minister of the gospel in church, singing with her on the praise team.
On the choir.
At the same time, on the choir. But at the same time, also being in many instances closer to a boy than a man in terms of some of my attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And it took.
Wow.
And we struggled mightily. And granted, she also had areas that she had to deal with. But the reality is that as the Bible always speaks of, it's so easy to point out someone else's issues. We were with, when we talk about the context of getting a support network, it's incredibly important to make sure that you have people that love you both. And that can be impartial. Now, granted, I did hear earlier in the broadcast about finding strangers. Sometimes that can be wonderful if those strangers are of the faith and are like-minded in terms of their views regarding marriage. Because suppose you find a stranger who believes in open marriages. All of a sudden, you've got a problem. So finding that, and I've been the men's leader at our church in terms of, and hearing just how hurt and broken these married men are while working and while being on the outside of these alpha males, but are hurting and broken. Why? Because women tend to be more vocal. What that means is we'll be out in a setting and you'll have a woman that will complain about her husband not doing, I mean, it could, from the light to the heavy, whether it's not doing the dishes, you know, not picking up his underwear, everything to him. And you'll find that most men don't say anything. We were with a couple years ago, and the wife spent the entire evening complaining about him. And maybe literally after 2.5 hours, he said, you don't think I have issues with you? And she literally looked at him and said, well, what? And he named about 4 or 5 things, and it wasn't hurtful or it wasn't very deep or hurtful, but she was so used to voicing her complaints about
his lacking. She hadn't thought about his.
When he just mentioned a few of hers, and it was nothing incredibly important, but what I mean by that is that it was nothing damning, but she was deeply hurt because men just keep stuff in and never say a word.
Wow.
Yeah. That's powerful. That is powerful. What are your thoughts on that, Andrea? What you just said?
That's very true that, you know, men from childhood, they're, you know, a lot of them are raised to take it. Just toughen up and take it. That's very toxic, you know. It's very, it's a toxic way to raise a son, I believe. You know, but we all have to understand that we all have emotions. That's a part of us, man and woman. We all have emotions, and it's the way we express our emotions is what makes us strong. The way we express them, if we continue to hold them inside, like we teach little boys, hold it inside, toughen up, man up, don't cry, all these things, they're stuffing these emotions, they're going to come out somehow. They're going to come out, and it's not going to be pretty.
Andrea, I just to piggyback that, I'm going to tell you, that's amazing. I'm so glad that you said that, because it really is so important. I've got 3 young men that I'm raising, and to this very day, I mean, they're 21, 19, and 15. I chase them for hugs. I'm like, we will fight it all. I mean, jokingly, like, I love you. So it is something that they know to hear from their father every day of their lives. Even if I'm obsessed with them and I've got a discipline, I love you, I give you a hug. The reason why that's important is that we find so many men that are just they're so guarded that even the wife can't get through. So a lot of times divorce happens is just because the men have put up such a wall that even their very own wives, they can't penetrate. So Andrew, you're absolutely right.
Wow. Keith, you were going to say something?
You know, as I heard Andrea and Richard, I remembered some time ago, many years ago, I was in my early mid-20s, and, you know, I was always a talker, you know, express myself. And I remember I was in this particular house, and I was talking, and someone said, you talk too much. A lady told me that. You talk so much. I heard it once. kind of overlooked it. But again, I'm a talker. And some years after that, I heard it again. We talked too much. And it almost shut me down as a man. You know, it shut me down because a lot of men, like you're saying, they're raised to kind of, you know, subdue and not express themselves, express their emotions. You fall down, you're crying. Oh, come on, stop, don't cry. Just whatever, you know, just tough it out. And so you kind of grow with that sense of let's take the pain. So whether the pain came physically, or it came emotionally, or it came verbally, you just took it, you know? And I see where I think now men are more becoming more expressive now in general, but it is something that we need to definitely do more. I like what Richard said. You tell your sons every day he loves them.
Right.
Something I practice myself. I think is great, and I would, you know, I hold him down and play with him. It's like, Daddy, no, so you ain't going nowhere. I got you now. You know, so it's a real good thing to do that. So that's highly commendable when men do these things.
Yes.
The other thing that I wanted to mention that I heard at the beginning was the importance of counseling. Listen, my wife and I have we almost have a welcome mat at our marriage counseling. Oh, we've been before the we've had marriage counseling. Oh, once, twice, three times a lady. And we've had to go to work some stuff out. And I say it proudly that it's something that I don't say that in any way to either engender sympathy or to somehow for people to feel bad. I actually say it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That we were able to go and listen. And when stuff got funky, we went back. And when stuff got funky again, we went back. Then when we realized that our dynamic was affecting our children, we took the children. So we've had bouts of family counseling. We've had scenarios where the counselor said, okay, parents, leave the room. Let me talk to your son. What's said there is kept in confidence. And it's something that I've said to the men's ministry all the time. Listen, we know the axiom, right? We know what people say. Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, unless you start looking at some of the things as to, you know, why things happened. And I mean, we don't want to get, you know, too deep, but the reality is a lot of what we exhibit and what we manifest as adults, it's because of some childhood trauma.
Yes.
And we remain, and not that everything gets fixed in one fell swoop, but if you can identify it, I'll give you just, I've got like a 1 minute story.
Go ahead.
I was born. It won't take long. I was born in Jamaica. Came up here when I was a child. When I was about 9 or 10 years old. So when the boys were born, I would get angry. I would always are the children hungry? Are they hungry? And my wife would say, "Are you trying to say I'm trying to starve your son? Like, what are you? Why are you always going? Why are you going in as if, somehow I'm not feeding my children?" It's so weird. I remember about 10 years ago. I was talking with my brother because my mother and father left and they kind of boarded us out. And I said to my brother, I said, "Why do I remember going to bed hungry in Jamaica?" I said, "The house that we were boarded out to, there was food for days." And he said, "The reason why you might not remember it, that after 5 or 6 o'clock, whenever they fed us, whenever dinner was, after there was dinner, we couldn't eat anything else." And I don't mean just we couldn't go into the fridge or touch anything else. That was just the rule of the house. So I remember but just to show you how deep it is. So what I was really reflecting onto my children or my wife is that I remember going to bed hungry. And this is in a big house with, I mean, they had people, they had living, you know, folks to take care of them. But we went to bed hungry. So I kept on visiting that on my wife for years to the point where it caused serious issues because I would go out like, "Why haven't you fed them? What?" And she's like, "Are you crazy? There's nothing wrong with it."
Wow.
So it was only after I spoke to my brother and he said, "Yeah, we did go to bed hungry." The light went off and I was able to go back to my wife and say, "I apologize." Whereas I'm thinking that you're not being attentive to our sons. It was really childhood trauma that was never diagnosed.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I've never been married, but I always use my experience working with kids with our conversations about relationship because I grew up in a broken home. I don't know what a family looks like or feels like. I know what I've seen people in family, but I don't know what it feels like to be a part of a family. And so for me, what I did, I constructed a system around myself in a business kind of fashion to make sure that I was securing whatever it is that I needed, right? And one of the things that in interacting that I've learned is, I remember one day Keith and I were having a conversation. And after the conversation, I just kind of had this aha moment or this whatever moment it was like, I don't think Keith was trying to hurt me. So why did I respond that way? Mm. And I really sat for hours kind of processing, like going through my mind, why did I respond that way? And then it kind of hit me. I think that was his manhood. That was just him being a man. Mm. But I didn't know how to deal with his manhood. Mm. If that makes sense. Like he was just being a man with his ego and whatever. And it wasn't negative. But for some reason, the way I responded to it was so negative to me, in my own opinion. And so it made me like question, because I'm like, I don't think he's trying to hurt me. And I still sometimes become unclear about, is someone trying to hurt me or not? What's that line? How do I know when this is healthy mistakes from unhealthy mistakes, if that makes sense? As a woman, how do I, because I'm having a challenge. I'm afraid of relationships. I'm terrified of it. If it's not business, I feel like, how do I even handle this? Because I don't understand manhood, how it's supposed to happen. I feel like there's this great disconnect. There's a gap in our communication. So sometimes I don't know. So as a wife, how does a woman prepare herself to honor the manhood in the man?
That's powerful.
Yeah, that's very powerful, because I came from a single parent home, and I want to talk about that, you know, how when we get married, a lot of us are coming from single parent homes. And I married a man who came from a two parent home. He had both his mother and his father. I did not. I just had my mom.
Wow.
So it was
contrast. Wow.
It was interesting to see how his family interacted with one another, because I wasn't a part of that growing up. My father was there, but he wasn't present. He was in the military or he was deployed somewhere. So although he was married to my mom, he was not present. Okay.
Yes.
He was not present. And it was very interesting to see how my husband and his parents interacted, and how his mother and his father interacted with each other. So when you say, how do I honor the man? Honoring yourself first is how you honor the man, because when you know what makes you happy, it kind of spills over into the gratitude that you have for that man.
Wow.
And that's how I've been able to process it in my head. How do I want to be felt? How do I want to feel respected? How do I want to feel gratitude? And a lot of that I have trained myself and how I want it to feel, I just give away. I give away freely. I respect my husband. I respect him and I give him love because I want that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so I have to ask myself, what do I want? I want? And I kind of, you know, just mirror that with him. And it that's very interesting that you said that, because a lot of us put more effort in getting a job and going on a job interview versus interviewing
our relationship.
Future spouse.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the person we're going to spend our lifetime with.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give, you know, we're here studying the history of a company and, you know, when were they founded? Who's the owner of the company? And all this stuff we get all wrapped up into and go in for an interview. We're not asking questions of our future spouse.
Absolutely.
Wow.
We spent 4 years in education, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We spent four yeah. years to get a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
But we spend no time in building, and I always put it this way. When we have our monies, we protect it. We put it in the bank. We hide it. Yep. We save it. We invest it. But then when it comes to our heart, we just give it away.
Give it away. Yeah.
Go ahead, Richard. Because I got a question for you and her. I'm going to finish. Go right ahead.
What I thought was amazing, what Andrew just said, is just that the context of that's a great analogy about the whole, you interview so many things, you know, when you go through, you prep for all of these things, but in terms of what that looks like, I had to learn the hard way. And it was through counseling and others knocking me over the head. No matter how funky the argument, no more name calling.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between going through the issues, whatever they are. Once you delve into name calling, it changes the entire dynamic.
Wow.
And so it was one of my really, my wife wasn't there, she had other things, but that was Richard. So I had to learn that, okay, you can be upset about anything, no matter whether it's real, perceived, whether it's whatever the case may be, but there's a few things you can't know. You can't do the name calling, you can't do the curse, all of the things that can. Because what happens is when you do that, even after the effects of the argument passes, the damaging effects of your name calling remains for weeks and years and years.
Yeah.
And you know, and as every man that's been in a relationship will attest to, you will have a wonderful sister who will say, "I remember back in 1973, walking down the street. There was a young lady in a blue
dress. I remember.
On the corner. And I remember saying to you, and all of a sudden, you're the guy that can't remember what you had for breakfast, but your wife has quoted chapter and verse of something that happened literally 39 years ago.
So part
of the, you know, even in the context of what's being discussed tonight in terms of a support system, I thank God that I had a few good men that I could talk to. There were some idiots and I mean that by idiots. They're still friends of mine, but I could not go to them for any relationship counseling. Because their point is, okay, oh man, you want to talk about it? Let's go to a titty bar and we can talk over it over drink.
And
I'm just being, listen, I'm sorry for being so trans, but it is what it is.
That's good.
That's you, Richard. I love it.
Or just let's do something that you know good and well you shouldn't be doing if you're trying to get counseling to how to preserve the integrity of your marriage.
And I love that you're speaking about that. Yeah,
you know,
I love
it's real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, Coach, I want to ask Richard and Andrew a question. But looking at my own life, I grew up in a family, mom and dad, you know, but it felt a lot like they were not really, you know, mom and dad. They were just two adults. You know, but I understand in the old school, you would understand that, you know, they thought a certain way, there's a certain way of thinking and doing things, you know, to the point where it felt like they were like separate worlds in the house. But anyway, growing up, and of course, we didn't see counseling as anything that was important, you know, that was like considered secular and not religious, and what is that, you know? You go to the elder and the pastor, or whatever they say, you do. So, you know, pretty much that what it was. But how do you both feel about couples getting counseling, even if they don't have an issue in the marriage after they get married? Like, you know, just going there, like maybe two, three months maintenance, you know, maintain their marriage. Because I heard you said something about being funky, and you went to the counselor. How do you think is how important it is to go to counseling just when things are okay after marriage?
I think that's critical.
I think
coaching and therapy, two most important investments.
Without any major issues.
I don't care. There's always issues, even if it's just you.
Gotcha.
Well, part of I believe that everyone should be in counseling, and I'm sorry.
Everyone, I agree with you there.
Because if you work on your stuff, and you work to try to at least, even if we're not, we don't necessarily say get fixed, but if I think what's so critical is to at least identify some of your trigger points. There's something that, there's some words or some actions. If you grew up in a house where the husband or the man was very verbally or physically abusive towards your mother, there are certain triggers. Your husband could sneeze the wrong way and it's on and popping. Because you're going back to, don't you dare. And he's like, wait a minute, I just sneezed. But you've got to understand that it's because of your trauma that's kind of helping to fuel that fire. So I agree with you, Keith. I don't know if I've done a lot of just for maintenance. We normally go when it's crisis, and to your point, maybe, you know, going when it's not, but certainly I think everyone should be in some kind of counseling. Everyone.
Yes. Awesome. I completely agree. And sorry, go ahead, Andrea.
Sorry. I definitely agree that we could all use some outside influence from a professional, and because we all evolve.
Yes.
We all evolve and we all grow. Hopefully we grow. Mm-hmm. And the therapy is, I think, it was mentioned that seeing a therapist, you can get like an unbiased, you know, opinion. I think that's what y'all were talking about earlier or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we can all use a therapist, a professional. And I speak professional because a lot of people think that oh gosh, what was I gonna say? Lord, I forgot. Jesus Christ, help me.
That's all right. I forget all the time. I forget all the time myself. Welcome to the family.
But a lot of people tend to go to the wrong people and seek therapy when they should be seeking out professional counsel. That's all. Professional.
Yes.
Counsel.
And I heard Coach said about coaching. I heard you mention that.
Yes.
That's critical, I believe.
Yeah. Like I said, I had a broken family, so I didn't really have family anything, but I've always been an entrepreneur. And as an entrepreneur, I learned to have a system around me. And what I learned is in 2016, I learned the power of therapy and coaching. I believe it's the two most important investments one could ever make in self.
Yes.
Counseling and coaching, unearthing the trauma, and then learning how to use the breakdowns for breakthroughs.
Wow. Right?
That's what the counseling helps you unearth.
The
counseling helps you unearth the trauma.
Yeah.
And then coaching helps you learn to use the breakdowns that the trauma.
Yeah.
To become breakthroughs for your life, because your trauma is connected to your purpose, right? To your divine purpose, because your trauma is what generates your motivation, right? You're motivated by the trauma, but so those things are really, really important. And one of the things I've learned is it's important to have the professionals help you.
Yeah,
but it's also to the point of what he was saying. I think I understand when he said, just someone to sit and talk to sometimes. Just, you see, I believe that you have to cultivate a system around yourself. I learned that in 2016, my business was stolen from me, got real successful, and it was stolen from me, and I never touched a dollar from it. And I had people from Australia calling me. I mean, the person who let me know my business was being stolen was somebody from Australia. I've never been to Australia, right? And I can't even find her back to say thank you, because I don't know where she disappeared to. I think she was just one of my kind strangers, my angels, right? And I remember, and I still feel the pain even talking about it. I remember after it happened to me, everyone around me was, oh yeah, we saw that coming. We knew he was going to do that. And I sat and I'm like, who was I being?
They saw it coming.
Who was I being that no one thought of saving you then, if you saw the danger?
Wow.
I remember I sent out an SOS to everyone on my WhatsApp. because I got that desperate, right? I needed a lawyer and I had no money because, again, I didn't have a personal account, just my business account, and everything went in it. Wow. And when I sent out my SOS, nobody helped me. I had to ask myself, who am I being that I'm teaching them to treat me?
How to treat you. Oh, right. God.
And wow. So that was when I really learned. I had to do hypnotics. I went on searching for myself because I had to understand what it, I felt like Daniel in the lion's den. I felt like everyone that was around me, that I had around me, was against me. Nobody was supporting me. So when he said those things, I cannot identify with a wedding party, but I can understand the being intentional about who speak into your ear. The people who you go to. When crisis happens, who do you go to? Because like he said, he did do counseling, and I'm so thankful he did. And I'm so proud that a man had that conversation. Women, you're important too. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that they never talk. I don't. I don't think it's so much that I was good. I was a good listener while listening. It's because it was a man talking, and what he was talking about, I was like, I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to listen, right? And I think we need to understand when it comes to relationships. We have to become more intentional about them because your relationship is what determines your outcomes in life. It determines the quality and quantity of your relationships, determine the results you get. Determine whether you're going to have a successful outcome or a failure outcome, right? Your relationships are so critical. And I think sometimes it's the one thing that we don't spend time on. Like she says, you're going to go to work for a company, you want to sort them out. And that's one of your support system, your financial support system, your jobs. You have to also ensure that, is my place of work favorable to my marriage? Is my place of play favorable to my marriage? Is where the school that my kids go into favorable to my marriage? If I have I remember we had an episode where we talk about miscarriage and stuff, and the way women showed up and supported women and stuff like that. We don't really hear a lot about the men. Who support the man when there's a miscarriage? So I think I believe that's just me. This is just my opinion. And again, because I take everything from a place of business, because that's what I know. So for me, I've always thought of, should I get married? It's going to be very strategic like that in my mind.
But
right? The people who come to my wedding have to be people who are there for a reason, with intention, with purpose. Because if you're going to fight for us to get married, like when he spoke about it, he said, man, when we had trouble, when we're leading up to the wedding, they were there. They were like cheering us on. They were there like, yes, we're here. And he was saying, remember, the family members don't get to come into the counseling with them. It's just him and his wife to be. So everybody wouldn't have gotten the benefit of counseling. So how do you even when there are disagreements or whatever, how do they know if they don't? How do they know how to even drop disappointments, drop whatever your expectations are, to be able to uphold these two people and support them and be there for them, to help them? Because it takes a community. If it takes a village to grow a child, then what about the couple?
Wow. Yeah. You know that's very interesting. But as Reagan, that is very, very powerful. But you know, Richard and I go to the same church. Great pastor. We have Pastor Dean Brown, great man of God. And as I listen to Richard tonight, and as you mentioned about being intentional about, you know, who we have in our space, tonight's show, having these guests, it wasn't just a random thought. You know, again, going back to relationship, you know, hearing this man over the years, how he spoke, how he is transparent, how he's just like, you know, as a man, I looked at him, this man is really a man's man, you know? He doesn't hold back. And there are times when I would be at the meetings and I said, this man is just such an example, you know? He gave you his failure, his victories. And that's, I'm telling you, believe
me. He was so authentic. I so respected that.
Yes. So when I thought about him, it was no haphazard thinking. This man was a man. Moving and really impacted my life in a way that he probably doesn't even know. He's the only one that told me, only man that ever told me before, that keep trying, one day it's going to happen. And the way he said it was like, I felt it in my bones. The way he said it, Ski. Don't keep trying. You never quit. You'll keep going, and it's going to happen. Miss Andrea, same thing. Similar. When I first heard you speaking online, and you were so selfless in your giving of information, like, wow, wanting to empower people. That relationship, you know, all it is so important. So, you know, it might be early before we close, but I'm telling you, before we even close, you both are really special people. Awesome.
Yes.
I like what you're saying. I appreciate the kind words. Yes. God be praised. Yes. I wanted to mention something that troubled that I ran into. When I tell you I could write a book on the foolishness that I've done, you know, foolishness 101, foolishness 201. So one of the things was not realizing it's important to keep my mouth shut in certain instances. I'll explain. Mm. You'll have a blow up with a spouse over a particular issue. You guys will resolve it and move on. But because of who you've told and in the context of who you told, they keep that. So let's say that person did wrong or vice versa.
They'll
keep attached to that wrong, even though you have released it.
Yes.
And so Andrea alluded to it, and also our host, that you have to use wisdom in terms of who you share it. If they're not going to be someone that's going to be a professional counselor, certainly let it be someone that is mature enough to know that, okay, you're speaking to someone out of your grief or your pain. That's not where you're going. That's not where you're going to remain.
Right.
Well said.
So where you are right now isn't where you're going to be once you resolve it or once you work towards resolving it.
Yes.
And and that's important, because over time, it's those little things that really, really, really cause us to make sometimes some horrible and horrific choices. So as I said, when I tell you some of the dumb stuff I've done in my marriage that I've had to go and repent to God and talk to my wife and say, I apologize again. But once again, it's no one's perfect. But I think, Andrew, you hit on it best, that it's a process. But you've got to realize where you start from. If you really grew up in a home that only had one parent, you're going to, how you view marriage and how you treat your spouse will be vastly different.
Yeah.
Than if you came from a mommy and daddy scenario.
True.
That's just a fact. But I certainly believe that the concept of girding so getting enough of a support system that you can trust that what you say not just stays in confidence, but that literally goes into a vault so they don't bring up what you told them about your spouse 5 years ago.
In a negative way. And, you know, I love that you said that. Because one of the things that I've learned is, I remember I was dating someone and, well, it didn't work out. And I was talking to a friend of mine, but I loved the person. And I remember the comment that she made just made me feel like, I don't want to talk to you again about this person. I think, you see, because all relationships are relationships, I believe. So whether it's a business partnership or it's a marriage partnership, it still has to be honored, right? And I do think in selecting people, he said something that's so important. You need to have people who will not become tape recorders, who hears you vent and only sees it negatively, instead of just understanding that and just saying, this is what I'm feeling. I'm not saying this is who he is or she is, but I'm saying this is how I'm experiencing him or her. And it's so important for us to understand that, like you said, again, the trauma and also the way we perceive things, the way we interpret things. I remember I was in a conversation with a guy and I'm like, let's go through the awareness wheel. I sense, I think. Sometimes we skip over we skip over the I think part and we go straight to I sense and I do. But I think there is something to be said about the thinking and the processing and understanding that what I'm telling you about my spouse is not my spouse. It's my experience of my spouse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. When that person does something and you experience it, you cannot really concretely say this is what they're feeling. You can only know this is how I'm experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And when you approach it from that, I think it's healthier, because then you can work on you. And I've learned to work on me and commit the other person to God and let God handle it.
Yes.
When it comes to relationship, I think I come to my end real quickly.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what? Too, we also need some Peters too. You remember when it came for Christ?
Leave my man alone. So it's true. Some people need, fight for you.
Right, Richard.
Yes. That's a good point. No, you're absolutely correct. So it's important to have good balanced people around you. Yeah. Have different, and you should know who to go to for what. Some of us go to the wrong people, knowing that Uncle Paul cannot handle this conversation.
Right.
Don't go to Uncle Paul. Do not go to Uncle Paul. Be selective. Go ahead.
Yeah, yes, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of us go to people that will co-sign on our foolishness.
There you go.
Oh my God. Hold on.
They will uphold everything that's wrong.
Yes.
About your spouse.
Yes.
Instead of putting you in your place.
Yes. And you tell them.
You have got to have a friend who is objective and say, girl, you're wrong for that. You're wrong for telling your husband that. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
And we need people that will tell us objectively that we are wrong. And those are true friends, because I know that a lot of my friends, they say, Andrea, sometimes I don't like what you say, but I respect what you say.
There you go.
Because I know you will not steer me in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will not uphold any foolishness. I will not.
And sometimes we only tell them the bad things. We never go and say, oh, you know, he did this right.
Mm-mm.
But we go to tell the bad things.
Bad things. Right.
I just want to share, five ways the article suggested that one could build a healthy support system. And then we're just going to hear from you. What are your suggestions or recommendations? It reads, if you are looking to build a healthy family support system, if you are looking to build a healthy family support system or strengthen one that you already have, here are five steps or great places that you can start. One, be the support you're seeking. Be the support you are seeking. You've probably heard it said that we teach people how to treat us. This is also true when looking for a family support system. To those that you love and trust most, demonstrate the support you're looking for by supporting them. Cheer them on in their healthy goals and through their life's challenges. Be the support that you are seeking for your own family support system. Second, move your circle of relationships to a deeper level. You'll know if they are willing to have a deeper, authentic, and transparent relationship with you based on your interactions with them. Make sure you share how they have been a positive influence in their life, and that you would love for them to be a part of your support system. If you've chosen the right person, they will be excited to grow deeper roots with you. Number three, don't forget about coworkers, neighbors, and others in your life. People who you see every day are often great people to add to your family support system. They can provide an additional safe place for your children, supply wisdom and guidance in your parenting journey, or invite you to community events that maybe you wouldn't have been aware of before. This is also a great way to build a family support system without adding anything extra to your plate or schedule. Number four. Consider your family's childcare provider or school organizations as part of your support system. Your children likely spend a good deal of time in your childcare or at school. If this is the case, don't forget to look at those groups of people as part of your family support system. They already are, after all. They are your partners in educating and raising your children. And the final one is skip the negative Nancys and other toxic people. In a perfect world, we could completely ignore the people who bring us down. But in working to put your family support system together, it's imperative that you focus on bringing in the positive people who will encourage you and your family to contribute to the world instead of tearing you down. Wow. So I want to ask our guests tonight, if you were to, I'm going to ask you for three recommendations as to what everyone who's listening on this platform right now, whether you have a single family, whether you have a wedded family, whether you're it's just you and your sibling families, because there are many different types of families. And I want person to understand that it doesn't mean you have to be married to someone to have a family. That's not what we're, it's all family structures, all family systems. Mm-hmm. No matter what your family system looks like, you're still a family, right? Even if you're a family of one. How do you interact with yourself is important, because
yeah, that determines
who you attract, right? So I'm going to ask you three suggestions if you have it. If you don't, it's okay. You can give us one or two, but three would be great. What would you suggest?
Anthony, do you want to go order? Okay, sure. I've got three. I think, thank you once again for so much for this. I think the first starts with transparency. In order for you to build a network that you can trust, you must be transparent. There are many of us that we all know people in our lives that are completely delusional. And because of that, it's nearly impossible to get through to them because of the delusion. So one is to find a way to become transparent. Two is to seek out trusted friends or advisors that might have divergent opinions different from you. I think Andrea said it best. You want people who are not going to co-sign on your foolishness. We all, and when I say that, I mean we all have aspects of us that have foolishness in it. All of us right now on this show.
Absolutely.
And you want someone, when you're trying to be transparent, you want someone who can call you out on some of your madness. Not to the point where they're trying to tear you down, but just so they can kind of pierce the veil to kind of get you to see some of the things. And then the last thing that I'd like to touch on is just, you have to be a friend. That means when someone is in need, you turn off Facebook, you turn off social media, and you turn to them because they are in need. And the more that you sometimes you can present yourself as a person that can be relied on, someone that can be trusted on, and someone that can be trusted to give the honest, loving, godly truth. When you do that, God will then tend to honor your sacrifice of your time and then present people to you in your life that in your times of need or in times of your foolishness, that you can turn to them and know that they're going to show you love, but they sometimes they're going to show you that tough love. So in order to build a network, I think those are some of the three things that I'd like to mention tonight. Andrew?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well said. Oh my God. Yes.
Absolutely.
This was a hearty, hearty conversation.
Yes.
I love it. It y'all fed my soul today.
Yes.
Again, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this platform. I really appreciate the invitation.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but the three things I would say, first and foremost, keep God at the center of your life.
Underscored.
A lot of us have not allowed God in. Okay, and I some people may disagree with me. But that's my advice from me, to keep God first, and find some form of successful marriage that you know is successful and not just appearing to be successful. Find a successful couple
that can honestly give you the God honest truth about what marriage is all about, and try to be able to make fun of one another in your marriage.
You gotta be able to laugh at yourself.
Gotta laugh
at one another, make fun of each other, and just have a good time in your marriage. Don't lose that laughter and that communication, and to be able to trust yourself. If you don't trust yourself, who else is going to trust you?
Yeah.
If you don't respect yourself, who else will respect you?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have that quality. But definitely, those are the three things. I say God, finding a good, grounded marriage, who you can go to and find out, okay, how are y'all lasting so long?
Yeah.
How, you know, and make sure, you know, make sure they're, you know, honest with themselves and honest with you.
Yes.
And, you know, trusting and respecting yourself.
Nice.
Thank you, Keith.
You know,
Coach, you want me to go? Oh,
before I go, I'm gonna let you go. But I would like to, you know, we did mention their names when we introduced both of these guests. But
yes,
they're impacting lives. I mean,
I
want Richard to be a temple builder, man. You've got to see what he does. Ingenious, you know. And there's more to him, than just meets the eye.
Yes.
He builds churches all over the city and wherever, I guess, he's called.
I hope to see him on weekends.
But I wish we could show him some of his work. Next time you have Richard, I want to share some of your work. Because
we'd love to do that. We'll do that on weekends.
Fantastic.
On the weekend show?
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're going to definitely blow him
up. Awesome.
Blow him
Thank you yes. so much. We'd love that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And Ms. Anton, I know you're doing some great work down here in South Carolina. Please give us something about your work that you're doing, because I heard a little bit about it, but I want to hear some more about just briefly about your work in North Carolina.
Oh, I'm in South Carolina, and I have a nurse staffing firm. So I've staffed nurses around South Carolina, and I'm looking to go beyond South Carolina and nationwide and, of course, worldwide eventually. Awesome. Yeah. Yes.
Awesome. I think we'll definitely have you on the weekend show, because that audience, we're coming on
we're
coming back on the 23rd. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Congratulations. I love that.
Yes.
Thank you.
I want to hear more about it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a much needed time, you know, for nurses anyway.
If I might add,
I have so many questions running around in my head.
And if I might add, these folks are big on entrepreneurship. They're big on
love that.
A lot of faith. They're big on doing it. I'm telling you, the energy.
And
here,
especially our community.
Yes.
That's what we're here to promote. And
to our audience. Yeah.
God bless you all. Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And we definitely have the audience and the reach.
Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
If I can get back to the letter. Real quick, and then let you three things.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say, and I would chime with Miss Hampton, put God first. It may sound like a cliche, it may sound, you know, mundane, but I'm telling you, He really is with us. And the simplest prayer works. Mm-hmm. Last night I was coming down from Connecticut at around 11:30, coming down on the highway. Before we left, we prayed in the car. For traveling mercy. Seemed like a typical thing we do, normal stuff. Richard and Miss Andrea, on the way down, I don't know what happened. I ran into about maybe a 6-car accident.
Oh, Lord.
I was in the middle of it. There were trucks behind me, to my right. I felt like, wait a minute, how am I going to get out of this? You could smell the smoke. You could smell the burning tires.
Mm-hmm.
And this truck in front of me, I don't know how he was able to slow down. And I had to kind of ease down myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I stopped too suddenly, I'd have been impacted as well.
Yes.
So just that one small second of just, oh my God, look what happened here. So the simple prayer that we prayed, it seems, you know, almost insignificant.
But it isn't.
It took me right back to, you know, put God first. Simple driving, your walking, in your work, in your entrepreneurship, in whatever it is in this conversation.
Yes.
He's here with us. And he's here for our good. And for our great outcome, and the letter, and back to the letter, when I read the guys, the 150 people, and I think I said on the last show that sometimes we see a lot of people around someone, we don't assume that because they're there means they're interlocked. It means that they're close. So maybe people there say, listen, this guy's a big wedding. He's okay. He's good. He has family. He has friends. He's okay. When really it could have been a whole different situation. So if you're there, what is my role? What's my task in this person's life?
Yeah.
So there's a thought in that. And we should never assume. And the third, what we should do is that we should always maintain being authentic with individuals.
Yes.
Just, you know, they may not like you for what you said, you know, but just be real. So you don't have to go back and apologize for not being real. Just be real to the person. I think wherever it lands, let it land there, but be real.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you're so spot on, Keith, because I think sometimes we need to let some people go, but because we're not authentic, we hold on to them.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you so much for all three of you and the feedback you had to give. And boy, I feel so blessed to have been a part of this conversation. I really do. I feel like I've been empowered. I feel like I've received tools and techniques that I can use. And I'm so thankful, so humbled and so thankful for it. My three suggestions or recommendations would be: honor your experience and your own truth.
Yes.
Know your truth and honor it, even if no one else in the room does. Honor your experience and your own truth. I call it own your truth. That's what helped me. That was my, that was what drew me out of what I was in, owning my truth and not let someone else own it for me or dictate what my truth was for me. I own my truth. This is my truth. This is my experience. And I'm going to honor that. And because I honor my truth doesn't mean I'm dishonoring you. I'm just honoring my truth. Secondly, have honest communication. Oftentimes we have very dishonest communication and we're not even in awareness sometimes how our words are changing and the meanings of words and whatever, because everything is down to agreements, right? And so we want to make sure that we connect when we're having conversations and communications. When we repeat it, is it the same? Is it the same meaning? And when someone asks something, are we going around in circles or are we being direct in an answer? Like, just have honest communication. Whatever your truth is, speak it, right? And my third one would be open to the possibility that you may be wrong.
Yeah.
Just be open to it. Yeah. Yes. Just be open to the possibility that in this moment, in this communication here, in this experience, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And if so, how do I then act? You know, so those are my suggestions. Like I said, I've never been married.
Wonderful.
I've never even been really enough. My family was very broken, but I've had to, I have a family of one now. Myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm growing. I'm finally at a place where I love me.
Yes. Nice. Awesome.
And those are some of the things I did.
That's a wonderful family.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Family of one. That's awesome.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Keith.
Yes. Yeah. Again, let me say my thank you to LTR.
Yes.
It has been a journey for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see where it's going. I'm excited for the guests who are going to be coming on in the future. And again, Dr. Richard, that's my word for him, Dr. Richard. And Miss Andrea, I'm really thankful for you both to have you here on LTR. And I'm sure the audience out there are going to reflect that in the comments that we're going to get in the weeks and months to come.
Oh, yes, because they do.
Who are these two people? Who are they? Bring them back home.
They do.
Yeah, so we're glad to have you both. And
absolutely.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful being with you. God bless you.
Awesome.
God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Keep up this wonderful work.
Thank you. Thank you. And have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Keith, we've come to the end of the show.
Yes, we have.
How was it for you? How was the conversation? Did you learn anything new?
You know,
did anything resonate with you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, again, you know, community, you know, stands out to me, community.
Yes.
And, you know, people going through, you know, it's a rough and tough world all around us.
Yes.
And we always consider these moments, especially having this platform here, as a beacon, hopefully, you know, of light, encouragement, a safe space.
Yes.
Where we can, you know, hopefully offer some support.
Yes.
Because we all, at some point, needed in different ways, different intensity.
Absolutely.
We need support, and that's what it's about. I mean, yeah, you are. You were on. Sometimes it wasn't the plan.
No, it was not.
When things happen, it just means that there's divine purpose were at work. And I think it was just the right team. You know, it wasn't too much. It wasn't too few or too many. It was just the right amount of people here, and the right ideas came out. And I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful.
Yes, me too.
Yes.
And I think what made it special for me, I didn't even realize when I was producing the show, putting it together and everything. Richard, He was here when it just started.
Yes. And so you reminded me of that because I didn't quite remember it.
I really think that is significant. You know, sometimes you're building and you're building and you're building and you work so hard that sometimes you don't get to lift your head up to see the building that you built.
And he's a builder.
And for me, sometimes I have to remind myself to step back and look at what I'm building. Because if I don't, then I lose sight of the results.
True.
You know, to recognize that, okay, we're not back 2 years ago now. We're 2 years ahead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and progress has been made.
Yes.
And things are happening. Mm-hmm. And I have to lift my head up sometimes to remember it, to see it, because I'm so always in the back end working and doing stuff. And so sometimes
I
have to remind myself. And I think as we reflect on this comment from our fan, from a listener, viewer, I learn from it. I take from it. Mm-hmm. I become better by it.
Yeah.
And there's somebody I want to shout out to because she did something and I don't know if she is aware of it, but there's something that she's done that every time it kind of make me a little emotional all the time.
Okay.
And I guess it's because over my years of being an entrepreneur, I don't experience it a lot. Mm-hmm. Apostle Faith Walters.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for comment. She shows up. Mm-hmm. She even if it's in the comment section and there's nothing in it for her.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it for her because
just giving.
The topic is not necessarily about her or anything, but she shows up and she says, she comments and I just want to say, I see it. Mm-hmm. I value it.
Yeah.
And thank you for it because it's being an entrepreneur. I remember posted the other day, I was watching this show about domestic violence and you know, there are all these things that you have support groups for.
Yeah.
And it could be me missing it. But I love a support group for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking a workshop or a place where you apply for funding. I'm talking a psychosocial or whatever they call it. Support where people come hug you sometimes. People give you a place to stay sometimes. You know, just something to get away sometimes. Just people who... So, and this is the same thing this man was talking about. You know, in your marriage, it's not that you don't love your partner. It's not that you weren't fit to be together. It's just sometimes you just wish someone would just come hug you, come embrace you, come say, I'm with you. Just somebody comes and just let's sit down and just have a chat. Let's just drink some wine and just unload on wine. You know what I mean?
But you know something? That's a critical because I remember seeing a show some years ago.
Yeah.
And they were talking about babies. And young babies are constantly being held and touched and so we used to from young that touching thing and as we get older it's like back off
just,
you know
it's a
lifelong desire and lifelong need and
the power of a hug
touch oh my goodness
yeah you know
my goodness,
but I just take from this conversation and I commit everything I do my life my relationships everything in God's hands because I can't run it. It has to be him. It has to be him. you know? Yeah. So thank you so much for having me on your show this evening. And
you
I just want to
say
thank you so much. Oh gosh, the comments. I just like to run through the comments a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Faith. Hi, Latoya. Lady Latoya J. She's also a wonderful person. She's the one that supports women who experienced child loss. She is just fantastic.
Oh yes lovely lady.
Yes, thank you, Apostle Faith. She said I'm looking lovely this evening. Thank you. She said you go girl. Lady Misty, we miss you. Yes, we do. Get get well very soon. Prayers going up for you. Thank you for praying for her. We love her. Let's get the show on the road, she says. So true. Many people of color don't believe in counseling. Many believe Jesus will fix everything. There's a reason there are other people on the earth. So she's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you need to have your relationship with God. I always say I need like the Jim Rohn said, you're the average of the five closest people to you. And yes. I believe those five people are important, right? Mm-hmm. You can start with mm-hmm. your God, but then you need some other people coming down because God is not going to come down when you have an accident on the
living,
road.
Living, breathing human beings.
Absolutely. They don't realize that God sends others to aid in the process of helping couples to heal, but they first have to admit they have an issue. Amazing. Yeah. Thank you for that.
And she
said, yes. She said, thank you, guys. Awesome show. Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you for always supporting us. And she said, but then again, some ways there are two broken people, she's talking about a couple, who come together, which may need healing, yes, to strengthen their relationship also if they recognize they need help. It's so important to identify that you need help, because a lot of times we don't even realize it ourselves. You know, one of the things Judge Lynn Taylor taught me, mm-hmm. you should know what's wrong with you. Oh, it's easy for me to roll off the things that's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't know. When you ask what's wrong with you, like even on the show Divorce Court, they'll be like, oh, nothing's wrong with me. Then you're like self-awareness. There's something wrong with all of us. Like I think it was Richard that was saying it.
You got to identify that.
You need to know exactly. Yeah. Before you get married, you need to know what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. So you can effectively communicate it and you can both work on it. And that's all I'm going to say for the rest of the show.
As you say in Spanish, exactamente.
Oh, Keith, it was a pleasure doing this with you. Remember when we used to do this, it was just us?
I know.
it was me. Finally happy. Then it was us. Yes, and then here we are, right?
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. It's all good.
Thank you, Trisha, in the background. Fantastic. You've been supporting. And She's amazing. Want to say thank you to all the persons who show up and make it possible. Thank you.
Awesome.
I wish you all a wonderful night.
All righty. See you back here on LTR next Monday night at 9 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything. From hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7. Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.